Praise the Lord. So we've been missing Ruby's prelude for a couple of weeks, so it's so nice to have you back, Ruby. We appreciate you. Well, just a few announcements this morning, a couple corrections here. So the ladies are going to have their meeting following worship, but it's going to be over here. So just stay here. It's not going to be too long. That's all I'm saying. It's not going to be too long. But it'll be over here instead of across the street. And we were going to have prayer meeting this week at LaRue's on Thursday, but LaRue is not feeling well. Sounds like the flu. She's feeling better yesterday than she was on Friday, but we're going to postpone that and have prayer at LaRue's the following Thursday. So that's the 23rd, which means we won't have prayer this Thursday. I probably got to leave my week open. My dad got taken to the emergency room on Friday with slurred speech. So that symptom isn't there anymore. As far as I know, they haven't found any signs of a stroke, so they're not sure what's going on, but he isn't. They took him up to Rochester, so he's there. My brother's going to go visit him this morning, but you know, not sure exactly what's going on. A little concerning when I called and said, he was talking about he didn't like breakfast. I said, did you eat something yesterday? Because I don't remember. And so that was a little concerning that he couldn't remember whether he'd had food yesterday or not. But of course, you know, when you're in the emergency room and the lights are never off, you're not even sure if it's today or yesterday, right? And so that could be a little disconcerting. So I'm going to keep my week open in case I have to run up there. Bible study tomorrow at 10. Love to have you come out for that. If you're free, 10 to 11:30, we're going through 1 Samuel. We're in chapter 14 right now. Great time of discussion. Don't forget to be looking for a sign-up sheet for the hospice breakfast. Not today, but it'll be out there soon. Again, mark your calendars for March 11th. If you're not on the calling tree but would like to be, or you need to change your info, you know, see Ginger and we'll get that taken care of. And, you know, we were having a 13-week study in Sunday school. We are almost halfway through. So if you're not coming, okay, you only have to come to half of it now. But I would encourage you to come for the next 7 weeks as we start to, or continue to talk about what it means to be growing in Christ as a church and as individuals. We do have some prayer updates going on. Jim Campbell, his back surgery, as far as they can tell, is successful. His body has not been rejecting any of the hardware that they put in. But this past week, he was diagnosed with COVID, pneumonia, and what was the other one?
The flu.
The flu, yeah, thank you. COVID, pneumonia, and the flu. Diagnosed with all three. And Cindy says, and he's grouchy. So I told her we'd be praying that he would be less grouchy and recover from that. So put Jim Campbell on your list. Alice Lance, you know, Jeannie's neighbor, her cancer has progressed, and so you know they're giving her an outlook of, you know, not too much longer, probably, you know, next couple of years, but her cancer has progressed. She has been on our prayer list, so be praying for that news. Jerry Lloyd was diagnosed with some hearing loss, but they did give her some medicine to take care of some stuff, so hopefully that will start to work. Judy Whitaker, which lives just down the street across from Lucy, she has been diagnosed with pneumonia and did not have a very good day yesterday. And her husband Larry's home right now. Judy's staying with her daughter, but Larry's home, and he's got some health issues, having a hard time getting around, so just be praying for them. And pray for Lucy, you know, and Chris as they go over and have opportunity to minister to Larry, especially as he's home alone right now. Bobby and Bonnie Spade down the street, they've been dealing with this respiratory infection for, I don't know, probably six weeks now. So you can imagine they're pretty tired of that. If you want to be lifting them up, that the medicine would work. And I'm not sure if you heard Reverend Combs from Hanging Rock. His daughter's car caught on fire this past week. And apparently it set the airbag off, which trapped her in the car for a short period of time. She was able to get out, but ended up with some second and third degree burns from the fire. So, and I don't know, Harry, do you know her first name? I don't know her name. So be praying for, again, Reverend Combs' daughter. That's all I have this week. Does anybody else have anything that didn't make the bulletin?
Yeah. I just wanted to, it's been a real joy and privilege to worship you guys the last couple of weeks. So I wanted to just thank you all for your kindness and generosity to my family. It's been a real blessing. We see Jesus in you and that, so we're grateful. So thank you.
If you haven't met Tim, this is Tim Cornwell. He's the youngest of the three Cornwell boys, and so His family has departed for Spain. He's leaving tomorrow. So again, be praying for Marlene as she adjusts to having more and more time alone. And, you know, getting this knee replaced, that'd be great. All right, if you look in your bulletin just to see this insert, you know, this is an insert that we use at prayer meeting. And we usually just go through a little bit of teaching, something about prayer or something about God to lift our hearts to Him. And then we just have like a prayer list that we go through. You know, sometimes we make changes. Sometimes we end up with the same one a couple weeks in a row. And, of course, we add things to this as we're meeting. So, again, if you're in the area of church on some Thursdays, we're going to be up here at 6:30. If you're in the area of Winchester, some Thursdays we're going to be at LaRue's house at 4 o'clock. We'd love to have more and more people come out to pray. And that might mean, as we learned in Sunday school, building some margins into your life to have time for prayer. So I'd encourage you to do that. Well, let's stand together now and come into the Lord's presence with His call to His people to come and to worship Him. Hear the Lord. Hear the Lord's call. Let's stand. It says, "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting." Let's pray. Lord, a song of praise is fitting to come into your majestic presence, to see your glory and to tremble at the sight of it. And so, Lord, as we lift our voices to you, accept our worship as we come into your presence holy and complete and sanctified by the blood of Christ. We ask it in His name. Amen. We'll take your hymnal and turn to 111 as we proclaim the power of God. All hail His power to save. 111. Be seated. It's just great words, right? Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him. and hail him who saves you by his grace. To him all majesty ascribe. And we will join in the everlasting song with him. You know, a past, a present, and a future hope of grace. Well, take your hymnal and turn to the back. Turn to number 569. Our scripture reading this morning is going to be a responsive reading. So 569 in the back. This is actually Psalm 145. I'm going to read the regular print and y'all can read the bold print. Again, Psalm 145. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever.
Every day I will bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works.
And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible works, and I will declare thy great praises.
They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works.
All my life shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee.
They shall speak of the glory of the kingdom and talk of thy power.
They may know to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom.
Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations.
The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all of those that be held down.
The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works.
The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth.
He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them.
The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will be destroyed. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord.
Here we see the work of the Lord and the work that the Lord has for us. And in all of that, I want you to see in that psalm that it leads to a praise of the Lord. It leads to praise of who he is, what he's done, and what he is doing. And some say, you'll see the title of the sermon is Work and Worship. I was thinking later, I should have put Work Leads to Worship. And we see that here in the psalm. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll close our time together reciting the Lord's Prayer. There's much to pray for here at home and in the world. And we have a God who is faithfully listening and acting on our behalf to bless us with his holy name and the work of his power in the world. Let's pray. Lord God, we do come into your presence grateful to know that you are a God who hears and a God who listens, not just hears, but listens to our requests and acts on our behalf. Lord, we know that our timing is not always your timing, but we know that you will answer. And boy, we're so thankful for that promise. So thankful for the examples we find in Scripture of answered prayers. So thankful for the answered prayers that we've seen here. Lord, it emboldens us and encourages us. And so again, we find ourselves here, Lord, in your presence, lifting up these concerns. Lord, we think about the world around us in this devastating earthquake in Syria and in Turkey. Lord, many suffering now the loss of loved ones and suffering in the cold and awaiting food and provisions and heat. Lord, we pray that the church would rise up and meet this need in a way that brings many to glory, that people would see the church and be amazed at your grace, at your mercy, at your provision given through them. Lord, we can't help but think that, you know, Syria is one of the places that has some of the very first churches. And so, Lord, we pray that those churches would rise up and do the work of ministry on your behalf in a very powerful way, that even in the midst of this rubble, Lord, that the church would grow and thrive. Lord, we pray against any and all that would seek to benefit financially from this destruction. Lord, we know that there is corruption everywhere, and so we pray even now against it, so that the aid that's coming in would get to the people that need it. Lord, we think of the war in Ukraine and the church under attack there, and we pray that the gates of hell would not prevail against the onslaught of the gospel. So, Lord, even in the midst of death, we pray that their martyrdom would be a testimony to your faithfulness. And instead of putting the church under, it would cause the church to grow and flourish. It has always done that, Lord. We ask for that to be true here as well. Lord, we think of the witness of the church in America. Lord, the church often wants to speak out of both sides of our mouths. Lord, forgive us for that and teach us to speak only what is true in your word, like standing on your promises and on your commandments and trusting that they are good and right and perfect. Lord, give us a voice and give us boldness to use that voice to speak into the darkness of our own culture in a way that is bold and tender. That is convicting and yet merciful. Lord, we want to move people into the kingdom of God through the conviction of sin and the promise of holiness, Lord. We ask that you would help the church do that in a mighty and powerful way. And Lord, you know, just in daily living, we have lots of requests this morning. We think of, you know, Alice, who's, you know, gotten this diagnosis, Lord, that the cancer has progressed and there's nothing really more to do. Lord, we pray that you would be a comforter and that you would help her to understand your grand picture, that she would know you and know that life here is not the end. Lord, we think of Jerry, you know, who's lived a long life and now her hearing is starting to fail. Lord, we pray that you would you know, restore what hearing she has through this medicine and help it to last to the very end, Lord, that she'd be able to communicate with those around her. Lord, we think of Judy, who's dealing with pneumonia, and Jim, who's dealing with a bunch of things. Lord, heal and make the medicine work. Help it to be effective. Lord, we just pray that for Chris and Lucy as they minister to Larry, that they would have opportunity to speak of your goodness and the reason that they're willing to reach out to their neighbor. Help them to share a meal with him and the gospel, Lord. Think of Bobby and Bonnie. Lord, it's been a long time dealing with this infection. We just pray that you would heal. Again, we would ask that medicine would be effective. You know, there's others in our midst. We think of Bonnie, too, who's still kind of recovering from this respiratory infection. We know it lasts a long time. We pray that you would give these that need it the perseverance and the strength to recover. Lord, finally, we lift up Reverend Combs' daughter. Lord, we don't know the exact extent of her injuries, but we know she was injured in this car fire. And so we pray that you know, her body would be well taken care of in the hospital. Lord, we especially pray against any form of infection there. Lord, we ask that you would use the medicine and the nurses to do what it takes, again, Lord, to protect her from infection. And Lord, we ask that you would help her to endure the pain that comes with burns and restore her. Lord, there are many other unspoken requests, even this morning. Unspoken requests for our children, for our families, for our relationships with others, for our marriages, for our churches. Lord, there is so much going on. Only you can help. So we put these unspoken requests into your hands and ask you to move and to work and to give us eyes to see it so that when it comes, we will praise you and glorify you and point others to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now let's join our hearts together again. We're starting the Lord's Prayer, which unites us, not just to the church that's gone before us, but to the church universal right now that's worshiping this day across the world. Many of them also reciting this prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, when you pray that prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us, do you trust that the Lord is willing to forgive you? We're going to sing of whether you trust in the Lord or not right now by turning to hymn number 289. You can remain in your seat. But again, a reminder as we sing this song, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus and to trust in his promise of forgiveness. 289. is trustworthy. You trusted him this week when you sat down to eat. You trusted him this week for your check to come in the mail and have your bank account replenished. You trusted him that in the morning you'd wake up, well, when you woke up, you would be able to breathe clean air and drink clean water. He is trustworthy. And he's trustworthy to bring your offering to him, to give a portion back to him. He's not stealing from you. He's asking for what is rightfully his. As a sign of your love for him, your worship of him, and your trust in him. Now is your opportunity to show him that you trust him. So I'd ask the men to come for our morning offering. Join our hearts together singing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father,
Father God, we do just bring this offering into your presence and worship of you as a sign, Lord, that we trust you. We trust you with all things. Use this, Lord, in a way that helps us to see your glory and your kingdom established here on earth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bibles and turn to Ezra chapter 6. If you're using the Pew Bible, that's page 462. I'll make it easy on you. If you're in your own Bible, sorry, it's a little harder to find Ezra. Just go to the Psalms, start working backwards. It's not very far. You'll like find Job, Nehemiah, Ezra. Ezra chapter 6. We're going to be reading the whole chapter, but just a couple of sections at a time. You know, I want to start by sharing a story with you that happened in 1995. Gaylord Kambarambi, while he was the general secretary of the Bible Society in Zimbabwe, he tried to give a New Testament to what he described was a very belligerent man. And the man insisted, if you give me that New Testament Bible, I will roll the pages up and make cigarettes and smoke them. Mr. Kambarambi was a very wise man. He goes, I understand, but at least promise to read the page before you smoke it. So the man agreed, and the two went their separate ways. 15 years later, the two men happened to be at the same convention in Zimbabwe, and the scripture-smoking pagan had been saved. He was now a full-time evangelist, and he told the audience this. He said, I smoked my way through Matthew, and I smoked Mark, and I even smoked up Luke. But when I got to John 3:16, I couldn't smoke anymore. My life was changed from that moment. Isn't it great to think of this idea that God's word comes with power, right? It comes with power to save this pagan who was smoking through the Gospels. Power to accomplish God's will on earth, right? God's word has power. So as we turn to God's word, I want to pray that we would see God's word and the power of God's word at work here in Ezra chapter 6. Let's pray. Lord, we would ask to see the power of your word at work here in Ezra 6 and then apply that to our lives today. Lord, that we would see your word, the power of that word at work in the Gospels and in the message of Christ, and then apply that to our lives today. We pray that that would be so in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, last week we saw that the Lord sent Haggai and Zechariah to do what? To reveal the word of the Lord to them that they should continue building. And that word came with power. And we're going to see that power had an effect here on not just the community of Israel, but even on these foreign powers, these governors that were around them, on the king himself, on Darius. Right? They had written a letter before, the governors did, to Cyrus, and Cyrus had stopped the building, and now they're going to write a letter to Darius, asking him to look again into the archives to see if there wasn't another decree to keep the building going. Well, we're going to look this morning at what Darius replies. Now, again, here's the big idea if you haven't caught it yet. God's word comes with power to accomplish his will. God's word comes with power as it comes through the prophets, Haggai and Zechariah. It comes with power to accomplish his will. God has a plan. His plan cannot be thwarted. Right? It can't be averted. Now, it may look at times like his plan is in danger, but trust me, it's not. It's just that our perspective is often limited. Right? God is never worried. God is never wringing his hands. Right? He knows his word will stand, and it will accomplish his will. And in fact, what we find if we look through Scripture, even if we look back through our own lives, is often when we are in submission to his word, the blessings that come are more than we expected. And so in this first section, that's what I want to look at. God's word comes with power to accomplish his will. And in this case, it brings favor beyond expectations. So we'll pick up at Ezra 6, verse 1. Then Darius the king made a decree, and search was made in Babylonia in the house of the archives where the documents were stored, and in Ecbatana, the citadel, that is in the province of Media, a scroll was found on which this was written, a record. In the first year of Cyrus the king, Cyrus the king issued a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be rebuilt, the place where sacrifices were offered, and let its foundations be retained. Its height shall be 60 cubits and its breadth 60 cubits, with three layers of great stones and one layer of timber. Let the cost be paid from the royal treasury, and also let the gold and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple that is in Jerusalem and brought to Babylon, let them be restored and brought back to the temple that is in Jerusalem, each to its place. You shall put them in the house of God. Now, therefore, Tattenai, governor of the province beyond the river, Shethnar-Bozenai, and your associates, the governors who are in the province beyond the river, keep away. Let the work on this house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews rebuild this house of God on its site. Moreover, I make a decree regarding what you shall do for these elders of the Jews for the rebuilding of this house of God. The cost is to be paid to these men in full and without delay from the royal revenue, the tribute of the province from beyond the river. And whatever is needed, bulls, rams, or sheep, for burnt offerings to the God of heaven, wheat, salt, wine, or oil, as the priests at Jerusalem require, let that be given to them day by day without fail, that they may offer pleasing sacrifices to the God of heaven and pray for the life of the king and his sons. Also, I make it a decree that if anyone alters this edict, a beam shall be pulled out of his house, and he shall be impaled on it, and his house shall be made a dunghill. May the God who has caused his name to dwell there overthrow any king or people who shall put out a hand to alter this or to destroy this house of God that is in Jerusalem. I, Darius, make a decree. Let it be done with all diligence. This one word. Wow. Right? I mean, the elders may have thought or hoped for or been praying for a reversal to the edict to stop the building, but could they have even imagined this response? I mean, it's just, you know, what do you think? When you're praying for something, how fantastic are your prayers? Are your prayers as meager as their prayers might have been? Oh, Lord, help us to not, you know, we want to keep building. I mean, this is an amazing answer. Darius offers them blessing and provision and protection. And in one fell swoop, the people go from danger to safety, from wondering how the building is going to succeed to a building project that's fully funded, right? It's fully funded. It's going to be completed right to the very end. I mean, and it's going to be a building where they can enter into worship, right? A place where they can enter into worship. God's word comes with power to accomplish his will and bring blessings beyond expectations. Do you believe that? Do you pray like you believe that? That's really a twofold question, right? Praying like you believe that? Do you believe that God's word comes with power to accomplish his will? So that when you read his word and you know what to pray for, you believe God wants that too when he says he wants it in his word. Evangelism comes to mind, right? Sacrificial giving comes to mind. These things. Do you believe that his will includes blessing you beyond your expectations? Blessing the church beyond our expectations? Are we praying as if we have a big God who wants to bless us way more than we think he does? You know, God said, go and make disciples. Do you believe his word comes with the power to make that possible? To make it effective? Right? To see people actually saved? To make it successful? How might that thought change the way you feel about opportunities to share the gospel? We've all had those opportunities where we're like, maybe, right? How would we think about those opportunities? How would we be prepared for them? How would we handle them when they come if we believe that God's word to go and make disciples came with the power to make that successful using you, using me, using us as a church? God said, seek his kingdom first and all these other things would be added to you. How might that promise change the way we live? Especially as we talked this morning in Sunday school about making margins in our life so that we have opportunity to serve the Lord with our resources, with our time, with our emotional stability. God is not a miser when you come to him. He's ready to bless you beyond your expectations. I mean, isn't that why Paul can say this blessing in Ephesians 3? You've heard this as a benediction a number of times. This is a promise. It says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. I mean, that's our prayer life right there, right? He's able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, according to the Spirit, according to the word that he puts there. God's word comes with power. It will accomplish his will. And it's going to push us, as we do that work for him, to worship. Right? It's going to lead us to worship. Look at Ezra 6. Pick up your Bible and look at verse 13. It says, then according to the word sent by Darius the king, Tattenai the governor of the province beyond the river, Shethar-Boznai and their associates did with all diligence what Darius the king had ordered. I just wanted to say, I find that amazing. Right? I mean, it's one thing to get the order from the king, but he's a long ways away. But they did this amazing. This is the Lord at work here. It says, and the elders of the Jews built and prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. They finished their building by decree of the God of Israel and by decree of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And this house was finished on the third day of the month of Adar in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. And the people of Israel, the priests and the Levites and the rest of the returned exiles celebrated the dedication of this house of God with joy. They offered at the dedication of this house of God 100 bulls, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and as a sin offering for all Israel, 12 male goats according to the number of the tribes of Israel. And they set the priests in their division and the Levites in their divisions for the service of God at Jerusalem, as it is written in the book of Moses. Now, I want you to think just a moment about what this building project looked like. It wasn't a 6-week project or even a 6 weeks long endeavor, right? It took 4.5 years from the time this letter from Darius arrived to keep building to the dedication that we read here. That's hard work. Doing something for that extended period of time is hard work. Even with all the provisions provided by the king, it took time. In the end, though, the payoff was what their work led them to worship. Right? Their work led them to worship, which is another way of saying that their work led them to the face of God. That their ministry there in Israel was leading them to the face of God. I mean, the Christian walk is like that for everyone, not just for them. Right? It takes time and hard work to build margins into your life, to do some of those spiritual disciplines we talked about this morning. But the end result is that the Christian life will lead to worship, will lead you to the very face of God. Roger Babson was an American historian. He was visiting the president of Argentina about 100 years ago, and the president of Argentina asked him this question. You're a student of history. Will you please tell me why it is that South America, with her unlimited resources and having been settled earlier than North America, has nevertheless made much slower progress in civilization and material prosperity? Mr. Babson, again, another wise man, threw the question back at the president, saying, Mr. President, you evidently have thought about this question. How do you see the answer? And the president of Argentina said, because I think it lies in the fact that South America was settled by Spaniards who came seeking gold, while North America was settled by the Pilgrim Fathers who came seeking God. What are you looking for this morning, right? What are you working for this morning? What do you see as the point of your ministry this morning? What is the reason that you came here this morning. Is it so God will be more beautiful, more wonderful, more powerful, more evident in our community? Are you seeing your work for God as something that brings you to worship? And by the way, are you seeing God who's someone worthy of worship? I want to encourage you to take some time this afternoon to think about how God is blessing you and blessing the ministry He has for you. And then see if that doesn't lead you to spend a few minutes in worship, just privately praising Him for His goodness. God's Word comes with power to accomplish His will. Right? It brings favor beyond expectation. It brings work, but work that leads to worship. And it, in the end, blesses beyond Israel. You see that? Well, you haven't seen it yet, but we're going to see that in our passage, right? That there's this blessing taking place in the work of building the temple that blesses beyond Israel themselves. Pick up your Bible and turn to verse 19. It says, on the 14th day of the first month, the returned exiles kept the Passover, right? The first Passover back in the promised land with the temple completed. All right, verse 20. For the priests and the Levites had purified themselves together. All of them were clean. So they slaughtered the Passover lamb for all the returned exiles, for their fellow priests and for themselves. It was eaten by the people of Israel who had returned from exile, and also by everyone who had joined them and separated himself from the uncleanness of the peoples of the land to worship the Lord, the God of Israel. And they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord had made them joyful and had turned the heart of the king of Assyria to them, so that he aided them in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. I mean, what a great time this must have been, right? To be able to celebrate the Passover for the first time after the rebuilding of the temple that's now standing in Jerusalem where it was before. It's interesting that their work and worship had an evangelistic effect all on its own around them. I mean, verse 21, right? It was eaten by the people of Israel who had returned from exile, and also by everyone who had basically turned from their wicked ways and turned to the God of Israel. Foreigners who had once been pagans, they saw the worship of God. They saw the people doing the work of God. They saw God's faithfulness to His people. And the kingdom grew. I mean, that's a good example for us this morning. For people to see our faithfulness in worship, to see God's faithfulness to us, and then we can trust because God's Word comes with power, that God's kingdom will grow. And evangelism will be part of that growth. We haven't gotten there yet in our study in Sunday school, but we're going to get there. And we shouldn't let that scare us. I want you to see here that the real power is in God's Word. It's in God's worship. It's in God's faithfulness. It's not in your words or your worship or your faithfulness, right? The power is grounded in God's work in the world. But the world's only going to see it through us. Right? That's why we're here, and that's why God uses us. God's Word comes with power. And we see that that power includes people coming to faith here. How do you feel about worship? How do you feel about worship here? How would you like to feel about worship? How would you like to feel about worship here? Do you ever view worship as an opportunity to introduce others to Jesus? Do you ever think of the idea that when someone drives by and all our cars are here and the shutters are open, that they know we're here worshiping and that that has some effect on them? How might this help you to think about worship? God's power is here in our worship through His Word, through His Spirit, through us joining our hearts together in worship of Him. I would encourage each of you this week to take some time to ask God to use the power of His Word in our worship to draw others to Christ. Let's start praying that. Lord, use our worship time as an opportunity to draw others in our community to Christ. God longs to bless those outside the church, not just inside the church, but outside the church, by drawing them to Himself, bringing them into the kingdom, and saving them from eternal damnation. Each of us needs to know that God's Word comes with power. That's an important thing, I think, this morning. Haggai and Zechariah came and preached the Word of God, but that Word came with power to make it effective. God will accomplish His will on earth, and He will use you to do it. He will use me to do it. He will use us to do it. And it means that something we do every single week that we might not even think about, He will use our worship to do it. Our worship plays a part in the building of the kingdom. Something I must admit that maybe sometimes we think is underrated. We're such a small church. What could we possibly do? God's Word comes with power, and our worship will be effective to bring His will about in the world. Well, how can this help me grow? Well, I want to grow in my faith that God's Word does come with power, right? I want to believe that. I want to see it. I want to experience it. And I want you to grow in that understanding, too, that God's Word comes with power to accomplish His will here on earth. And I want us as a church to grow in our ability to see God's power at work around us and through us. You know, lots of us see the glass half empty, right? We need to start seeing the glass half full, looking for those special moments and just maybe mundane moments where we can say we see God at work in the world. We see His power beyond our expectations at work. We don't have the power. God does. But He does let us see it. Do you remember that belligerent man, right? He said, when I got to John 3:16, I just couldn't smoke anymore, right? My life was changed forever. Aren't you glad that God's Word is not just print on a paper? It's not just print on a paper. It's a Word that comes with power. In today's passage, we see the power of God's work at work for Israel. As they're rebuilding the temple, they received favor upon beyond their expectations. And as God called them to a work that led them to worship, you know, it blessed those outside of their company. That shouldn't surprise us. That shouldn't surprise us that God was using all of that to draw others to worship. When we get to the New Testament, we see the same thing. God working in the same way, using the power of His Word to bless His people in Israel, that's where Christ came from, and beyond into the area of the Gentiles. That's us, by the way. I mean, today we get to see God showing us favor beyond our expectations, calling us to do work in the kingdom, ministry for Him that is meant to bring us to worship, right? To see Him for who He really is, glorious and lifted up. And we're here to share that good news with other Gentiles, other pagans outside the church. You and I and everybody that comes to Christ, we're getting a fuller revelation of the power of God's Word. A fuller revelation of the power of God's Word to accomplish His will on earth. And we should be ready to rejoice in that. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 11. He says, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and how inscrutable His ways." The Word of God comes with a power that is unimaginable and with blessings that are unexpected. God's Word had power in the Old Testament, working through His prophet. It has power now, working through the Word itself in the canon of Scripture, through the preaching of the Word in every worship service. That's because Jesus, who was called the Word, became flesh. John 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Work and worship, they are joined together in the Christian life, and work should lead to worship. When you work for the Lord, don't work because you're so strong. You're not, right? Work because the Lord is strong and His Word comes with power. Let's pray. Lord, as we work to do ministry for You, we follow the Apostle Paul's example, trusting in the promises of the gospel and then turning to live in the light of that gospel word. We pray, Lord, that You would send forth Your word and the power of Your word to change us and to change those around us and to use us as part of that change. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll stand together and we'll close our time singing hymn number 316. You know, as we think about making margins in our life, there may be some things we have to surrender, but that's okay because we're going to surrender it to Jesus. Let's stand together and sing "I Surrender All," 316. I encourage you to pray this afternoon that, Lord, let Your blessing fall on me. I I surrender all. Hear the Lord's benediction. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters, as you go in the power of his word to do work that will lead you to worship. Amen.